The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Wake up, wake up. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey. Good morning, everybody. I saw that in, you ever saw Kill Bill 2? He did that after he had knocked out Uma Thurman. And it was like, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. I mean, after you see it, you know, and you take it in the context of that, it's not funny.
No.
What he was doing. Yeah, that's right. Good morning. Hey, it is the 26th of February right here in the studios of Free Fire Radio. 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, airing compassion and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Linda is still recovering from whatever everybody has that she dodged through most of it, and, it hit her full bore. Monday or Sunday night. So hopefully she'll be back. I know she'll be back Friday. So
this is just
tomorrow's
the,
Trish.
Right. This is just the regular cold and flu. She doesn't have anything extraordinary, if that's what you're thinking.
I do not have to go and buy a bag of limes for her.
Okay.
You know, did you get that?
No.
A bag of limes because of the coronavirus.
Oh,
that's what I was
thinking.
Okay. Yeah.
See, horrible joke. I am going to talk about the coronavirus later on today, though, but what's it look like as far as weather goes?
Today's sunny and a high of 75 with a low of 46. Sunny skies ahead for Thursday and Friday with a high of 79 tomorrow and a low of 47. 74 for Friday as lows drop down to 47 with increasing clouds and a chance of showers for Saturday, Saturday night, and into Sunday morning. And sunny by Sunday afternoon with a high of 59 and a high of 64 for Saturday. In downtown Reading, it is clear. Red Bluff is 45, 44 in Anderson, 40 in the city of Shasta Lake, and 41 degrees in downtown Reading. Quite a bit of construction in and around Reading. We do have road maintenance on Cascade Boulevard this morning. A live or deceased animal, that's at Olinda Road and Poplar Avenue. Also, we do have some maintenance as well in Reading. This is if you're, once again, traveling between Reading and Anderson. They do have some construction as they widen Interstate 5 and just past Weaverville. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. Hey, the weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane down in Anderson. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. 365-3793. If it's Wednesday, it's got to be Robert
Burke. What's happening at the movies?
Of course.
You know, we got to get a little jingle for him. Da, 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 da. You know?
Yes.
Let's find something like this.
Oh, I'll find that.
And then we'll have that. Da, 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 da. You know, so when Robert comes on, we'll all know. How about that? Your own opening.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, that's good. I just want to know is that when you become famous,
mm-hmm.
will you mention the little people like us, how you had a weekly radio appearance on KCNR?
Of course. If I win an Oscar, you'll be in my speech.
Oh, yeah? I was thinking about,
sure.
You know, as you become, you know, the critic of the year, you win the Pulitzer and things like that.
Well, I want to be a filmmaker, not necessarily
okay.
a critic.
All right. Well, we'll expect even from the smaller as you win, like, the Northern California Film of the Year, and then you work your way up to the Academy Award. And in everyone you win, now you got to promise, everyone you win, 2, 3, 4, 6, 10, you got to mention us.
All right.
All right. You heard it here.
And I did.
That, to me, is a contract.
Okay.
All and right.
It's his word.
And we were here. We both saw. And
we
spoke.
Both.
Yeah, two witnesses.
You don't have to say Carl and Bot.
Do you record the show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then it's
that,
in recording.
It will go right into trial. At that
yep.
point, I'm not sure what we'd be suing for. Have you ever held an Academy Award?
I think I went on a tour of, like, Universal Studios or something, and you got to hold an Oscar, so I think so.
I was at one of the Oscar, you know, one of the we go every year to Lynn Moss's house for an Oscar party, and one of her guests one time had won an Academy Award for us. I think it was sound editing. And brought it.
Wow.
So I have pictures of Linda and Lynn. Standing there with the Academy Award.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It's a heavy little thing.
Yeah.
Heavier than you think. Okay. Lay it out for us.
So this weekend we have one significant wide release coming out, and it's The Invisible Man. This is directed by Leigh Whannell, who did movies such as The First Saw and Insidious, and it stars Elizabeth Moss in the lead character. The movie is actually getting fantastic reviews as of right now, which was pretty shocking to me personally. I didn't think that the trailer looked all that good, but I think it's currently sitting at like an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. And a lot of people are saying that it's way better than the director's other movies, and that it's the rare exception of a really strong, really scary remake.
Is this the one where her lover or the person, the guy that she's associated with, says he kills himself? Is this the one? And
right.
And then she's trying to convince people that somebody's there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen the commercial. I've seen the trailers. Scary, but looks like it could be good.
Yeah. It's shaping up to be pretty good.
Yeah,
so I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. She does a great job in this. Too.
Yeah. Elizabeth Moss is very well known based off of The Handmaid's Tale, the TV show that everybody is in love with. And, yeah, so she's batting at 100 right now.
Yeah, I think she does a great job in this thing. Okay. Yeah. I mean, try to convince somebody. Try to convince authorities that there's an invisible man pursuing you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And he's in the room right now, and, you know, and everybody looks.
Well, they don't believe it until they get killed by it.
Of course they don't. Yeah, I mean, oh, don't be giving it away here. But, yeah, but how would you, you know, how would you believe that? You know, this somebody stalking me. They're here in the room with me. You'd want to get them help. Anyway, okay, moving along. What else we have?
Well, there's not much else coming out this weekend. Really, that's the only new movie at the theater. In terms of other returning movies, you have Sonic the Hedgehog, which was number one at the box office for a second weekend in a row.
What? Why is this?
I think that the game is obviously very popular, and when the movie came out, the reviews were actually pretty good, and I actually thought that it was a pretty enjoyable movie. And, I mean, look around, you don't have a whole lot of other blockbusters out right now. I mean, the last big blockbuster was probably Star Wars, unless you count the Harley Quinn movie as a blockbuster. So this is the first, like, kids blockbuster action movie that's come out in a while.
Well, okay. I'll go for that. I mean, I've never played Sonic. I've seen, you know, the figure at times. But Jim Carrey is what? Is he in this?
He's Dr. Robotnik in it. He's the main villain in it. And actually, he does a great job. It's kind of a return to the old Jim Carrey 90s roles when he would play those super ecstatic villains.
When he was popular?
Right.
And that was, what, 20-something years ago?
Yeah. And the thing
I tell you what, he was, frankly, that movie Liar,
mm-hmm.
is hilarious. That he was forced to tell the truth on everything. And if you have not seen that, I mean, I don't care for Jim Carrey that much, but I thought he was pretty good in that.
Mm-hmm. And okay. He's pretty good in Sonic, I got to say. It could have been kind of sad seeing an old actor coming back and trying to live, like, the glory days of his career where he was playing all these, like, cool, kooky villains. But he actually does a pretty good job. In second place, box office-wise, you had another kids' movie, which was The Call of the Wild, with Harrison Ford. This one used a CGI dog that cost the studio $110 million. So it's got a super high budget for what should be a movie that doesn't have a super high budget.
Because of the dog, or the wolf.
Right, because they made it completely CGI. Instead of using a real dog, like, 90% of the time, like most movies do, they just made it CGI the entire time, which was a really odd choice.
It is, because if you know, because people will know it's not a real dog.
Yeah, it's very obvious.
And if it's obvious it's not a real dog, so you don't have that empathy you would have for a dog that's being hurt or doing heroic things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. I mean, that's part of what an actor does is promote the empathy so that you can kind of identify with it. And if you've got a fake dog, it's like watching, movies with CGI people in it. I mean, or shows with it. You know, I've seen
right.
like trailers and stuff. I mean, you don't get as involved because there's the movements aren't exactly right.
Right. And a great example of that was The Lion King, the all CGI remake. Uh-huh. The problem with that is that there was no emotion on any of the characters' faces, and you just couldn't relate to it. It took all the magic out of the first movie and kind of just left you with this bland remake that didn't have nowhere close to as much emotion because. Uh-huh. It was all CGI.
All CGI.
Right.
Yeah, and see, that's it. It's, I don't think it's. Do you think it's the future?
I think that the future is heading towards using CGI, and I think a lot of people love using CGI in movies just for the fact that they can use it. I think The Call of the Wild is a great example of that. I doubt that you needed to use a CGI dog in 90% of the scenes, but they went ahead and did so. And it's probably the first movie to use a CGI dog for the entire time. So whenever there's any sort of technical achievement that a movie can do it just because they can do it, unless they're trying to save money on the budget.
Yeah. Well, again, it's not the same. But maybe this is just the beginning of something you're going to see all the time. And
yeah.
As the next generation after you, your next generation is just going to find it just weird that we have all these people in these in these movies.
Well, I don't know if you'll ever get rid of the actor. That's a pretty difficult thing to do. But, you know, I don't know. No one knows what the future can hold.
You don't know that.
I mean,
it's, you know, today's robotics and GCI. You could be, you know, the leading man could be, you know, this, you know, the Rock type of physique. But the voice, like, it'd be just like radio. Radio was immensely popular. And you had the guy playing Matt Dillon was like a 250-pound round guy, but he had the voice. And you can see it kind of almost going back to that at some point. Something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, we got to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction is not only is the largest privately owned company here in California for firearms instruction, but they just teamed up with Legal Heat. And now they're going to be teaching in all the Cabela, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Bass Pro Shops in California. And Ted Leidy, who's the CEO, is now arranging, trying to arrange all of the training throughout California, right here in Redding. But you can still, of course, get just great classes right here in the North State from Northern Firearms Instruction. Go to usgunpro.com and see all the different classes ranging from basic concealed carry to unarmed combat to defense of your home to just learning how to shoot. And give them a call at 999-1822 or go to usgunpro.com. We'll be right back with Robert Burke.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, my name is Randy Jensen. I'm here to tell you about Curtis Byron, who's running for Supervisor District 4. Curtis has lived in Shasta County for 60 years and actually in District 4 the last 30. Public safety for the residents of Shasta County is top priority for Curtis, and he will do everything he can to make Shasta County a safer place where families want to live, free from the fear and harmful impact of criminals. Curtis has been involved with making the private sector and government sector work together for the benefit of the community. Cooperation is key to accomplishing goals. We're asking for your vote on March 3rd for Curtis Byron, Supervisor District 4.
I'm Curtis Byron, and I approve of this ad.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
name is Nick Wallingford, and I have personally known Dr. Paul DeNuca for almost 7 years. I have been a career firefighter for 14 years and have been assigned to countless wildfires, including both the car and the camp. Things are getting worse, but it's not too late to turn things around and prevent that level of devastation from happening again. We need leadership that promotes proper forest management and fire prevention planning. As a neighbor and doctor who has cared for the victims of these fires, Dr. Paul DeNuca understands this, and that's why I am proud to endorse him for assemblyman.
This is retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty. As a soldier and leader, I worked with some of the best men and women in the world. In all of them, I saw a love of country and patriotism that I see in my good friend, Dr. Paul DeNuca. As a doctor, businessman, and patriot, he fights for everybody in our community and continues to focus on important issues, affordable health care, job training, and homeless relief that gets and keeps people off the street. I'm retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty, and I endorse my friend, Dr. Paul DeNuca, for assemblyman, District 1.
Paid for by PK Paul DeNuca for Assembly 2020.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Yeah. There we go, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 7:21 in the morning here on the 26th of February. Gosh, it's over this weekend, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. Hopefully we'll get some rain.
You know what? This is the first February and recorded time of weather here in Reading that we have not had any rain in February.
None.
Dryest
February ever. 7:22 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. You know, I say that because Judy has expanded her offices, and so that one division is strictly financial and the other one strictly insurance, and is able to address your needs in both the financial world and the insurance world. If you have any questions, you need to give Judy a call or one of her highly trained professionals at 221-0441 or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. She's been helping people since 1993 and does a great job. I'm here with Robert Burke, and I mentioned earlier I was going to talk about the coronavirus. But you've got something that's impacted on the movie industry on that.
Yes, the coronavirus has actually impacted a couple of movies now. Mulan is going to be pretty impacted by it because that's coming out March 27th, and movie theaters in China will not be open by then. And also the press marketing for No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie, was pushed back because the China release date because of the coronavirus. Now, this story actually is not based in China. It's based in Italy. Mission Impossible 7, the upcoming Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise, had to halt its release in Venice because they were taking precautions about the
release
coronavirus.
Release or production?
Then. Production.
Production, okay. Production there. And when you mentioned that, I'd seen that, but it just so happens that we know people that are in Milan. And Milan, right outside of Milan, another small city there, was like the ground zero for the coronavirus in Italy. And that's very close to Venice.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, people are over there visiting their daughter there, and they may be quarantined there for 30 days. We're going to talk more about that. Well, thanks a lot for coming in here. I know you've got to get to school here and keep up that 4.0 grade point average.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you have a 4.0?
I do. Well, it's with school now, there's like weighted grades, so it's a little bit above a 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So you're just kind of like excelling everywhere. Are you an overachiever here? Are you an A-type? Are you an A-type personality, would you say?
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Hey, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank
we'll see you next week.
See you then.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. President Trump is going to address the coronavirus today at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so it'd be around 3 p.m. our time. And the Center for Disease Control has said coronavirus has not reached the pandemic level yet. It is spread from person to person. It's got two of the three. The third one is a worldwide spread of the virus. And a worldwide spread of the virus would have a severe impact, of course. And you've seen it already on the with the stock market. The stock market's had 2 days of having a bad time because of the coronavirus. It's having a huge impact on the Chinese industry. And what happens if it hits the United States? According to Nancy Messonnier, director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's National Care for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, disruption to everyday life may be severe. Schools closed, mass public gatherings suspended, businesses forced to have employees work remotely. Has coronavirus has caused sickness and death and sustained person-to-person transmission. And that's two of the three factors for the pandemic. And the third one, of course, is worldwide spread of the virus. Even though the World Health Organization determined Monday that the term pandemic did not fit the facts because it's not worldwide yet, it soon could be. It's going to take, the director of the U.S. Agency for International Development, Global Health Security and Development, credited China's extraordinary control measures with delaying the spread of the virus, but he said avoiding a pandemic is very unlikely. The dramatic uptick of cases in South Korea, Iran, and Italy are reflective of a self-sustaining spreading of the virus, and a clear message is the horse is out of the barn. Now, when we had, I think what we're going to try and do is we'll get Casey Fatch in from Shasta Regional Medical Center and have him bring in some of his people about what happens in if the coronavirus hits here. We know that you're supposed to. It's kind of like the flu is that you use hand sanitizer all the time. And keep your hand, hands away from your face and all these different things. But if it can be spread, if it's airborne, if it can be spread that way, that's going to be tough to stay out of it. But what do we do? How do they treat it? Is it something that is, as we know, it's not you get it, you die type of thing. We know that. However, people like the doctor in charge of the hospital in China that was treating these cases caught it and died. The guy that discovered the coronavirus died. So, neither one of them were would fall into the elderly class by any means or a very young class, where usually the flu hits hardest. So it'll be interesting to see what President Trump says tonight about which preparations are being done. I know that he'd asked for another $2.5 billion worth of equipment and treatment facilities, or to help up treatment facilities in the U.S. to combat coronavirus if it hits here and becomes widespread. I mean, it's already here in the United States. I think we've got, I think it was like 13 cases, or is it more than that, Sue? Do you know?
At this point, no, just because more and more people are getting infected daily, and they're not really releasing figures because I believe they're trying not to panic the public, because we have people that were in China that are self-quarantined here in Shasta County. There was a case over in Humboldt County with another person that may have been infected as well. We haven't had any results from that. So we do have a case that was reported in Sacramento, and it looks like it is spreading. But the thing is, they're really trying to contain how much information is out there, and they don't want to confirm anything, because if you confirm it, people will panic. So they're trying to reduce the panic at this point. And, right now, the flu, the regular flu is, in the United States, is more deadly than what we're facing, as far as the coronavirus, because it's not here yet. So take care of yourself. Wash your hands, frequently. They say just the regular measures you would do.
Yeah, you would anyway.
Anyway.
And one of the things about it also is the death toll. The death toll from coronavirus rose to 2,762 on Tuesday night. Now, that's none have died in the United States, of course, with more than 81,000 confirmed cases. it's already kind of an it's an economic pandemic because of the fear they have, which is reflected on Wall Street. It's a moving target, and it is hard to stop because of the way it is spread. Okay.
Absolutely. And they believe officials have, even from the CDC, are saying, hey, it could be 10 times worse. So just prepare for the worst, and hopefully it won't be, you know, as bad, because we are really trying, you know, especially with Trump going on air tonight to talk about the coronavirus. That's a big deal for him to do that.
But I think it's also the right thing to do so he gets in front of this. You know, we've got a few cases here. We are going to be hit by it. How do we mitigate what's going to happen?
Absolutely.
So hopefully he'll address some of these things tonight. Hey, we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular system hospitals for the second year in a row, recognized by the Watson Health Organization. Also, the Joint Commission has certified that Shasta Regional Medical Center is an advanced primary stroke facility through preventative care and screening of high-risk patients, working together to provide high-quality care throughout the hospitalization to discharge from the time you get there to the time you're discharged. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. 7:31 in the morning, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
The status quo has got to go. I'm Dale Ball, asking you to vote for me as your District 2 County Supervisor. As a concerned citizen, I've attended countless City Council, Board of Supervisor, and Town Hall meetings. Seeing the need to remove the mess left behind by illegal encampments, I co-founded Shasta Support Service, which has removed hundreds of tons of trash, saving local property owners thousands of dollars in fines. I never dreamed of running for political office, but realized our elected officials should reflect the community they represent. I grew up in Shasta County, graduated from Anderson High School, and went off to earn a paycheck each week like many of you. I believe in evidence-based solutions to improve our public safety. I have witnessed the impact of homelessness and addiction firsthand. I have seen what works and what only enables bad behavior. Are you better off than you were 12 years ago? Has the county represented your interests? I ask you to vote March 3rd for Dale Ball for District 2 County Supervisor. Paid for by Dale Ball for Supervisor 2020.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
River Resort and Casino invite you to come explore our exciting table games to see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our knowledgeable, friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. With 13 table games and a variety of limits for players at every level, we'll make each gaming experience better than your last. More games, more ways to win, more fun. No one else in town offers this. All the table games details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Out here, there are many jobs to do. You need the kind of power, versatility, and comfortable handling that comes with your territory. Luckily, there's a tractor built to pull all that weight. The Kubota L-Series. Get an L-Series tractor for zero down with 0% APR financing for 60 months. Plus a 6-year limited powertrain warranty. Now through February 29th, 2020. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Come on down to NorCal Tractor and Equipment, your new local Kubota dealer.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We'll have open half hour here for our guest at 8 o'clock. Today's the 26th. How warm is it out there?
It is currently 41 degrees in downtown Reading. And yes, chilly.
It's going up, though. What, 78 today? 79?
They're thinking 75 and tomorrow 79. Whoa. Could be 80.
Going to be a beautiful day today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 365-3793. So many things going on here. When this gun safe, the Veterans Home Support Committee. Now, this group was set up because they built the veterans home, but they didn't provide a lot of the amenities. And through the support committee, they've been able to put in a pool table. They've brought in, thousands, literally thousands of books and other things that helps make the lives there for the people in the veterans home better. And now they're auctioning off a 40 gun capacity safe, a cannon safe, rated 45 minutes, fire rated. It, like I said, it's can hold 40 guns. It's free delivery within 25 miles of Jones Fort. Winner will be notified by phone. You need not be present to win. And for tickets, you can contact Linda Kent at 356-3651 or Linda at 510-0162 for information. And to buy tickets, there's other people out there selling tickets. I bought a couple yesterday. They're 10 bucks a piece. A person cannot ever have too many safes. Also, the celebrating 100 years of service to the community, state, and nation is the American Legion Family Shasta Post 197. It's been here since 1920. They found the documentation 100 years. So on March 7th, they're going to have a celebration of this with live music, raffles, displays, info booths, fancy coffee. You can get lunch for $10. It's going to be at the Veterans Memorial Hall at Yuba Street, right next to the post office. Meet the hardworking Legionnaires and auxiliary members. Learn about their programs, memberships, or how you can help our veterans and community. Any questions on that, please give Richard a phone call at 605-0801. And let me see. The Far North Cal Science Bowl will be at Simpson University this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Reading Electric Utility will host this fair. It features 46 teams from a record 29 different schools from 8 Northern California counties. It's a fiercely competitive question and answer contest between some of the brightest high school and middle school minds from schools throughout Northern California. The winner from the middle school division and high school division will win an all-expense-paid trip to the National Science Bowl in Washington, D.C. in April to compete with teams from across the nation. It's free to public. You can go in and watch. You're encouraged to attend the finals at 2:30 p.m. You know what? If you really want to see how much you don't know, go to one of these fairs.
My kids both won they were in high school.
Well,
Both won.
Both won. That is fantastic.
Isn't that neat?
It is. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. I wanted to bring to people's attention that tonight we're going to have a meeting with the attorneys. It's going to be very good. This is for the CFR case, Citizens for Fair Representation, which represents all Californians, all of California, to increase representation for the state. We're excited about this. We're going to get some information. And next Monday night, we're going to be talking about this court case, what's going on now. We'll get some sort of, looks like we're going to get an answer, or close to an answer, I hope, on March the 6th at the Ninth Circuit. But next Monday night at 2570 South Bonnie View Road, we're going to be talking about the update on the CFR court case, and we're also going to be talking about the new Idaho movement of people from Oregon wanting to annex themselves to Idaho.
You know what? You know, if you remember Revere's and Selmo?
Oh, yeah.
His idea was to ask for Northern California to be annexed to Texas. We would be their West Coast part of Texas.
Yes. Well, actually, he did a study on that. I still have all the attorney papers on that. I have I have all the documents from that. And we got a 38-page document from the people who want to do this. And the people who want to do this and go to Idaho are from Oregon. It's not Idaho inviting the people from Oregon.
It's like a number of counties that want to go.
Yes, sir, it is. There's quite a few. We've gone through a lot of this stuff, and we got the document from them. We broke a lot of this down on our program last Sunday on Jefferson State of Mind, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Sunday. If you go back to the archive on that, you can listen to the breakdown on that. But we're going to break that down right to where it is. Anyway, the thing about the court case, we're excited about that. We'll be at a conference call probably most of the afternoon and into the evening with the attorneys. So
that'll be interesting.
We'll be able to give everybody an update on what's going on to get more representation for the state of California.
Well, it's going to affect everybody. Everybody knows that it's not working now. We need to do something to change it. Let's hope this is a big step forward. Thanks a lot, Terry.
You bet.
Okay, thanks. I really don't have enough time to get into my debate hat. I'm not going to put on my debate hat. But when I talk about it, I feel like I should be standing in front of somebody and say, "Hi, my name is Carl, and I'm a Democratic debate junkie." And then everybody says, "Hello, Carl." And then I'm going to say, I slipped. And I listened to two debates in 1 week, but I'm going to talk about that after the break. But let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Hey, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed our conversation about Measure A Monday morning.
I am just so, you know what? It was enthralling to listen for your support for A.
Oh, well, thanks. I brought out some new facts that people weren't aware of, and I've got some more. I'd like to come on tomorrow with you and Trish.
Not going to happen. We're filled up tomorrow. But thanks for the offer, Nick.
Okay. Well, listen, Sovereign Minds Sunday from 11 till 12, we're going to have a little forum, so everybody be sure and tune in.
Okay. Yeah. Our show's on Sunday. We have 5 hours of local political shows here, ranging from Jefferson State of Mind through Sovereign Minds into the We the People. If you have not listened to them, you need to tune in, because you get a lot of you have a lot of different concepts that you'll probably be hearing for the first time, or you're going to hear national level guest on the shows. They're quite enthralling. So
you know, Aaron had a wonderful show about the coronavirus Sunday from noon till 2. Very informative.
It is, and this is something that somehow. I have a feeling of, if it sweeps into the country and they've got to block large groups of people from getting together, is this something that people, is this going to have an impact on the conventions?
Who cares? Trump's going to stomp them anyway.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
That being said, Sunday, 11 till 12, Measure A.
You got
it.
Have
a great day.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here for the news. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition has been with us since 1982. It was started by Joe Martino because he was fighting cancer, and he could not find the food and the supplements he needed. So he started his own store and has become just wildly successful. Best in the North State so many times you can't even count it, because he truly believes in the term 100% certified organic. And that's all, everything he sells there is that. It's not partially, it's not 80%, it's 100%. Not only that, but he has free health seminars. He has 2 to 3 every month. And if you can't make it there, you can see him on the www.orchardnutrition.com/past-seminars. And you can find them all there. Orchard Nutrition, this is where we go to buy our organic produce and our supplements right there. You're not going to find a better place. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:45 in the morning, 42 degrees up there.
America, you know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Every brotherhood from sea to shine.
Experience the life and story of artist and World War II veteran John Schuller through his paintings and memoirs in Turtle Bay's exhibit, Lost Man Blues, John Schuller, Art and War. Open now until April 26th. Learn more about this must-see art exhibition at turtlebay.org.
Pink Martini is returning to Redding's Cascade Theater with singer China Forbes for their all-new holiday show.
Flip a table under the tree.
Pink Martini is a little bit of lounge, a little bit of Hollywood glam, and a whole lot of fun. Don't miss this chance to see them live at the Cascade December 18th. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It's the President's Day sales event at Redding Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and cash for kids' classrooms. Save on the 2020 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive with 0% APR for 66 months or $2,000 Kia customer cash. Get great deals at Redding Kia. Ends 2/29/2020. On approval of credit, must finance through KFM for this offer. 0% APR for 66 months is $15.15 per 1,000 finance. Check it out, reddingkia.com.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Redding Rancheria pays state and federal taxes, transient occupancy taxes, sales taxes, and special taxes that are applicable only to our tribe. When the Rancheria relocates the casino to our I-5 property, we will generate even more local taxes. These taxes and fees help the city and county fund essential governmental services. The local community faces many challenges in the near future, and the Rancheria is committed to being a part of the solution. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 26th of February. It's 7:48 in the morning, 44 degrees out there, going up to a very, very nice 76 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and Bastiani Arms is bringing us this segment. Bastiani Arms, celebrating 10 years in the business. Locally owned, locally operated, has fought its way through all the big box stores and other competition. is like number one when it comes to customer service. They can meet or beat many of the big box store items. The only place I buy a gun, because, you know, when you go in to buy a firearm, you know, you want to talk about it. You want to hold it. You want to see how it fits. And the people there at Bastiani Arms are just very, very knowledgeable. Great customer service there. And veterans always get discounts. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. Okay. Hello. My name is Carl, and I am a Democratic debate junkie.
You watched it last night?
I watched it last week.
Oh, my gosh.
And I watched it last night. I am sorry, but last week was a street fight. This week was not a street fight. It was just messy. The moderators lost control in the first...
Like right out of the
shoot. 2 minutes. 2 minutes after they announced who they were, and they said, okay, here, Bernie Sanders, your first question. And it turned into a food fight. It was like watching Animal House in the cafeteria last night. People shouting over each other. What is a murder of crows is what I was thinking in a big tree. You know, think of 100 crows in a big tree squawking at each other all the time. However, there were Bernie for the first time. Was booed.
Booed.
And he got booed a couple of times. And when it did, it visibly impacted on him. They were booing, and he looks like, how dare you? Nobody boos the burn. You can't feel the burn if you're booing. And it's because I heard tickets. I thought tickets would be free there, but I guess they pay for these tickets. And some of the tickets were kind of expensive. Anyway, Biden had his people there. Biden has always said that South Carolina, you know, is going to be where he starts his campaign. And he's got strong support there. He's leading right now, and Bernie's right behind him. But in a debate last night, it was interesting. You know, Joe Biden didn't do anything wrong. And he came out swinging. He had his facts right most of the time. And he did, he looked, okay, if you can do this, he looked presidential. He looked presidential in the sense of he stood up straight. You know, his answers were there. He was humorous in the set when they said to him, your time is up. And he goes, okay. He said, but hey, wait, nobody else is listening to you. Why should I? And the lady says, well, you're a gentleman. He says, yeah, it's that Catholic school upbringing. You know, that was kind of funny. Meanwhile, they're taking shots at Bernie, and you know, if it was a baseball game, they were not throwing for the strike zone. I mean, they were going for his head, they were going, you know, for hits on the body, and they were trying to get him to explain how he's going to pay for this Medicare for all. Everybody on the stage looks at him and says, "This is not going to work." Elizabeth Warren turns and just immediately goes into the attack on Bloomberg, who, by the way, did 1,000% better than he did last week. However, he is still subpar. He still gets like a D+. When she said, what about these letters that you made the women sign for non-disclosure agreements, NDAs? And he said, I've lifted those. Well, it's like she didn't hear it because she kept talking about it. He says, it's NDAs. And then she accused him of that one woman told him, that he told one woman to have an abortion. And the moderator, you know, Warren says that. And the moderator says, do you have any proof of that? You're just saying that. And Bloomberg fought back. He said, that never happened. I never said anything like that. So they got into this, you said, he said, you know, stuff. Mayor Pete, who is, he's a policy wonk, and he turns to Bernie and says, your plan will not work. Then Bernie got attacked on what he said about Fidel Castro. Instead of like most people would, they'd start off by saying Fidel Castro was a tyrant. He was a despot. He murdered hundreds of thousands of his own people. His chief assassin, Che Guevara, talking about that they eventually hung him out to dry. He was so far off the rails. But what he did was he said, well, you know, Fidel Castro brought literacy to Cuba. Most people would say, all these things about him first before you said, you know, the only thing you can say about it is that he upped literacy. What Bernie said was, well, you know, Fidel upped the literacy rates in Cuba. That's how he started off. Well, and he did this on 60 Minutes. Well, that was just, it was open season at that point. And he, but he wouldn't back off on it. He says, of course he was a tyrant. He was a despot. You know, he's all these things. But he did help the education. Well, that's like saying Mussolini and Hitler made the trains run on time in Germany and Italy. And, you know, like that's a good thing. You know, when it, you know, and all the things, other things they did that were just appalling. Tom Steyers, the billionaire. It was like nobody paid attention to him. He'd say something, and people would kind of look at him, and then they go on to something else. Have you ever seen that? Like, you know, it's at a party, somebody says something, and everybody looks at him, and then goes on to what they were talking about, and then he was starting to get a little. His face was getting red, and he says, "I think there should be term limits," and they all looked at him, and then they all went back to talking about something else or calling at each other. Amy Klobuchar, I like Amy. She is a moderate, kind of middle of the road woman. Doesn't have a chance. Does not have a chance. It's going to come down to Biden, Warren, and Bernie.
Did you hear somebody shouted something from the audience just as she was getting ready? Do you remember that part last night? I was like, what did they shout? I couldn't hear that. Like, she said, I'm anything other than boring or something like that. I'm not as boring as I.
Oh, yeah. They said, what are things that people think about you that aren't true? She says, I'm not boring. I don't know. Probably somebody yelled, "We love you, Amy," or something
like
this. But but Bernie getting booed, that was
big.
That was big, and Bernie doesn't like that. Feel the burn. Well, you know, it's funny that they keep going back that, you know, he wants to. There's no way. There is absolutely no way he can pay for these programs. And they were trying to get him to, how are you going to pay for this? How are you going to pay for this? And he came up with some kind of strange number of, you know, $47 million. Well, that's absolutely untrue. So I think he misspoke. He should have said $47 trillion on paying for this Medicare for all, and that doesn't even include, you know, he says universal health care paid for by the government. Well, so you have not only universal health care, that's now the government owns you that way, but child care. So now your children are being taken care of by the government, you know? I mean, and you say, well, the government's not going to, you know, what they're going to do is, you know, the government's not going to set up child care centers. Well, are you sure about that? Are they just going to push money down to a state and say, okay, if you want to have child care, you've got to meet these requirements. And I'm not talking about health requirements. I'm talking about other requirements, too. When they're 4 or 5 years old, you're talking about, oh, how good is socialism? You know, and you raise that generation, because the generation that's supporting him right now thinks socialism is great. Why? Because they don't have anything. They don't have anything to lose. Oh, yeah, free education. Oh, yeah, loan forgiveness for my loans that I take out every year for my liberal arts and basket weaving in the Mayan culture. Why can't I get a job? I mean, you know, it's things like this that just offend people. And Medicare for All, where you see 149 million people losing their insurance. You know, and Mayor Pete said that. You can't say that this is going to be a successful mission when you have 149 million people losing their health care. And that's what you're saying. And Bernie just blows right. Bernie just rolls over any of these. You know, he doesn't get into, he points to nickels and dimes parts of it. He wants to tax the very rich, he says. He wants to tax Wall Street. But I tell you, other things, I've read his plans. I've read them on his website. And his plans are based on maybe this happens, maybe this happens. But there's no way you're going to raise that much money unless you tax things. He wants to cut out $1 trillion out of the defense budget over the next 10 years. He wants to do away with all the money it costs to protect the oil lines. Somebody explained to me in the Green New Deal how solar and wind is going to take the place of carbon fuels in the next 40 years. It doesn't happen. It can't. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Linda kept walking in going, what's going on? She'd walk in and the screaming would start. She'd turn around and walk out again. Yeah, what can I say? All right, Ray, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, this is KCNR Free Fire Radio. And this is my turn. Yeah.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. President Trump says the U.S. is in great shape when it comes to dealing with the coronavirus.
The president says the spread of the virus is under control in the U.S. and that Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and the Centers for Disease Control are doing a great job. On Twitter, he also accuses CNN and MSNBC of doing everything possible to make the coronavirus look as bad as possible, including panicking the financial markets.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston says the president plans to discuss the coronavirus threat at a White House news conference this evening. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden has won the endorsement of Representative Jim Clyburn, the highest-ranking black member of Congress. Clyburn says he'd had his mind made up for some time about who the next Democratic presidential nominee should be.
But I want the public to know that I'm voting for Joe Biden. South Carolina's should be voting for Joe Biden.
Clyburn's backing could provide a much-needed boost for Biden before South Carolina's primary on Saturday. Senate Republicans have come up short as they try to advance a bill requiring medical attention for babies that survived a botched abortion.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell urged Democrats to put aside partisan differences and find some common ground on a sensitive issue.
Even if most Washington Democrats persist in their resistance to any common-sense protections for the unborn, surely we must be able to agree that children who are born deserve protection.
In the end, all Republicans voted in favor of the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, along with three Democrats. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 383 points at 27,464. The NASDAQ is ahead by 160. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Statement is not evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individual results will vary. If you tried to lose weight and failed, it wasn't your fault. According to leading medical experts, when we cut back on how much we eat, our body shifts into survival mode, reducing our metabolism and making us even hungrier. But now, a breakthrough discovery that helps you fight food cravings is available without a prescription. Riduzone uses your body's natural appetite control, a molecule called OEA, to break that cycle. Riduzone is the only product that contains OEA.
I've lost 75 pounds using Riduzone. My husband has lost 50 pounds using Riduzone. Riduzone has made it so that we eat less food, and it has taken away the cravings that we used to have. Riduzone has made it so that I can lose the weight without feeling hungry.
Go to Riduzone.com. Use promo code today to save up to 65% off your order. That's R-I-D-U-Z-O-N-E.com. Save up to 65% and get free shipping by using promo code today at Riduzone.com. That's R-I-D-U-Z-O-N-E.com.
An Arkansas man has been arrested on charges he tried to blow up a car at the Pentagon.
Matthew Dimitri Richardson of Fayetteville made an initial appearance Tuesday afternoon in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, a day after his arrest. A federal complaint says a Pentagon police officer saw the 19-year-old Richardson standing next to a car and using a cigarette lighter to ignite a piece of fabric that he placed in the vehicle's gas tank. The complaint says Richardson said he was going to blow this vehicle up as well as himself. Richardson is being held pending a detention hearing Thursday. Keith Peters, Washington.
Authorities say a fire at a large refinery in Metro Los Angeles was under control early today, and no injuries have been reported. Firefighters continue to pour water onto part of the refinery at sunrise, but there were no large flames visible. The Los Angeles County Fire Department said the fire erupted late Tuesday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. Amazon is aiming to kill the supermarket checkout line.
The online retailing giant is opening its first
cashier-less supermarket. At the new store in Seattle, shoppers can grab milk or eggs and walk out without checking out or opening their wallets. Shoppers scan a smartphone app to enter the store. Cameras and sensors track what's taken off shelves. Items are charged to an Amazon account after leaving. While there's no waiting and long lines to pay, there are parts of supermarket shopping that some customers may miss. There's no one to bag groceries at the Amazon Go Grocery. John Scott reporting.
A bus carrying members of a wedding party plunged into a river in western India, killing 25 people. A police official says the driver lost control of the bus after one of its tires burst as it was traveling on a highway. The official says five people survived the accident, which occurred in Rajasthan state. Deadly bus accidents are common in India. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567 for those of you listening out of the area. Today is the 26th of February, 2020, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. What's the weather look like for today and the rest of the week?
Today in the North Valley, 75 degrees under sunny skies with a low of 46. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer and a high of 79 with lows dropping down to around 47. Once again, sunny. Mostly sunny for Friday with a high of 74 with increasing clouds Friday night and a low of 47. Saturday and into Sunday morning, a 20% chance of showers, a high of 64 for Saturday, a low of 40, and then a high of 59 under sunny skies by Sunday afternoon. So we could see a little rain Saturday. And that's about it. Hopefully, we'll have some rain before the 1st, because it looks like it's the driest February ever. It's currently clear in downtown Reading, 41 degrees. If you are traveling, an animal hazard at Placer Road and Irish Creek Lane, you might want to try to avoid the area. This must be a very big animal at Olinda Road and Poplar Avenue. Oh, it's a cow. It's been there for a while.
Is it wandering?
Not anymore. It's more like steak. So it's on the roadway.
So it's more like steak.
Well, if it's been ground beef.
There we go.
So it's been there a while, and it was posted according to the Highway Patrol, live or deceased. We're looking on the inside. If you're traveling though around Reading, we've got some road maintenance at Cascade Boulevard this morning. We've got once again that incident. Animal hazard at Placer Road and Irish Creek Lane, also down by Anderson, Olinda Road, Poplar Avenue, being affected. If you're traveling towards the coast, we do have ongoing construction past Weaverville, just past Willow Creek. They have an incident. Traffic will be delayed. And a little bit closer to the coast, expect delays. Also, between Reading and the Oregon border, looks like the road is open. No incidents at this time. Just be aware they do have maintenance at Gibson Road and off 96 closer to the Oregon border. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay, the weather report's brought to you by, and traffic, it appears, brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, Anderson-based, veteran-based business, locally owned, locally operated, of course, that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. My story about that, about animals in the roadway, Ted Lighty and I were driving through Nevada going toward a place called Pahrump.
Okay.
I mean, it's like the middle. I mean, we're going through the middle of nowhere, Nevada. And it's in the night. It's probably around 10 o'clock at night. And, I mean, it's wide open road, and we were probably pushing the speed limit. We'd seen the speed limit. It was somewhere behind us as we're driving down the road. And out in the distance, you see the red and blue lights telling you that, of course, there's a police officer up there. So we slowed down. And as we got closer and closer, we got really slowed down because we saw, more than one vehicle out there. And there was a medium-sized SUV, the crossover SUV, pulling a small trailer. The whole front windshield on the driver's side was pushed down in that part of the roof. And it was stopped. And there was another car stopped behind it. And you go about another 40 feet down the road, and there is this very large cow laying there dead in the road. So they must have hit this cow going pretty fast. And it took out the whole front part of the wind, like I said, that whole side of the windshield on the driver's side was just crushed down. And so as we go by, you check it out. But I tell you what, our speed dropped after that.
Oh, definitely.
Because, and there's all these signs out there, this is open range out there, and there's cows wandering, and this car hit it. And it wasn't like you hit it with a Dodge truck. They hit it with something that slid it up right over the hood into the front seat with them. So, yeah. So if you're out there and you see an open range, you may want to slow down at times. They're talking about the Olympics. The Olympics could be canceled because of the coronavirus in Tokyo.
That doesn't surprise me.
I mean, there's thoughts about that. I mean, when you see something like that, they're facing, it's not saying it's going to happen, of course, but if it's not contained by late May, they're looking at the three-month window to decide the fate of the Tokyo Olympics, which now are being threatened by the fast-spreading virus from China. And this guy is the longest-serving member on the International Olympic Committee. Said did not sound alarmist, but he did speak frankly about the risk of it. You could certainly go to 2 months out if you had to. A lot of things have to start happening. You've got to start ramping up your security, your food, everything. The media folks will be there building their studios. And if it got to the point of not going ahead, you're probably looking at a cancellation. He thinks of it as a new type of war, and you have to face it. And in and around the times, they're going to have to ask, is this under sufficient control that we can be confident about going to Tokyo or not? And on Tuesday, China reported 508 new cases and another 71 deaths, 68 of them in the central city of Wuhan, where the ground zero for the epidemic. So China's got 77,000 cases of it now. Expected to, he said, they're not canceling it. There's nothing now to cancel it, but if it spreads like that, it could. And, when you think about it, and this is this, coronavirus, that it could stop the Olympics. I mean, that kind of brings it home. It's one thing to think about, okay, there's people in Wuhan, China, where nobody has really any idea where that's at. And it's one thing to have, 15 cases in the United States, it's being isolated, including one over in Humboldt County. It's another to think about, Italy has 600 cases or 67 cases, but they're worried about it. And Iran's got the highest death rate of any of the countries because they don't have the medical facilities to treat this. But when it comes down to the fact that you've got the Tokyo Olympics, thoughts about having that canceled because they don't want all the hundreds of thousands of people coming in from all over the world to watch it. It's not so much the athletes, but all the people coming in from all over the world. How could you contain that, especially if it's a type of virus that, it's, in crowded places, it's going to spread quickly. Did they have the medical facilities to treat people? And, of course, some people come in there and they can be infected, get back on the planes, and head back home. How many thousands of Americans are going to the Tokyo Olympics?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So when you think, when you think about that, that kind of like drives it home what the coronavirus. Imagine the impact that would have. Anytime you get the Olympics, you're spending millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, building sites, building, facilities for the athletes, building all types of things, because you're going to have this influx, one, of all the nations in the world coming in, but all these hundreds of thousands of people to watch this. And then a month out, it says, we can't do it because of the coronavirus. That kind of drives it home. So I'll be listening to President Trump today, seeing what he says about it, and continue reading on any type of source you can get about this virus and its impact, or its you know, you don't want to be too, you don't want to be just afraid of it and panic about it and say, oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay inside my house, because it doesn't, it has not hit us. When the Spanish flu came, when the soldiers brought it back from Europe, we had hundreds of thousands die right here in the United States. But things have changed dramatically since 2015 as far as the health and all that has happened. And healthcare. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, a community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals that want to do the best for you. Two locations in town at 1845 California Street and at 192 Hartnell Avenue. They want you to come in and find out how they can move your dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com, Cornerstone Community Bank. 8:15 in the morning, 44 degrees out there, going to be a beautiful day, though we really could use about 2 inches of rain. We'll be right back.
My mind told me I should proceed with caution, but my heart said go ahead and make a bid on that. And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you my own mind. I'll be your bidding and be if you beck and call.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Perry, OBGYN, physician, and have practiced in Reading for over 38 years. We need unity more than ever in our divided political arena. Dr. Paul DeNuca is the candidate for State Assembly District 1 to make this happen for the North State. I have known Dr. DeNuca professionally and personally for many years and can attest to his excellence in medicine, excellence with his patients and medical colleagues, and integrity as a person and a family man. He desires to make our communities great by supporting law enforcement, public safety issues, and helping to solve the crisis with homelessness. I endorse his platform with lowering taxes, encouraging more higher education to come to the North State like a UC campus, and lowering healthcare costs. We have a medical crisis in the North State with lack of medical providers in our area. Dr. DeNuca plans to address these issues, and in doing so, he feels this will help stimulate economic growth. I strongly urge you to vote for Dr. DeNuca on March 3rd. This message is paid for by P.K. Paul DeNuca for Assembly 2020.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Good morning, everybody. 8:19 in the morning here of the 26th of March. And the 44 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day. Today is pistachio day.
Love pistachios.
Tell a fairy tale. And, of course, it's Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
So if you see people walking around with the traditional cross on their foreheads, that's why. This portion of the show is brought to you by Simpson University. They're having a business luncheon, business leadership luncheon on Tuesday, March 3rd. The guest speaker will be SR-71 Blackbird pilot Brian Scholl, a retired major in the U.S. Air Force who shot down during the Vietnam War, was burned severely, got back on active duty, and flew countless missions in the SR-71, the spy plane, including 3 consecutive days when they don't usually do that. And he's the one that provided the photos of the missile emplacements in Cuba during that time frame. This event is sponsored by the Merchants Bank of Commerce and will be at the James M. Grant Student Life Center on campus at Simpson. Event begins at noon. Tickets cost $50 or $500 for a table of 10. You can purchase tickets at the simpsonu.edu/businessluncheon. The city received a $6.7 million grant from the state of California to expand and to repair and to add new facilities at Caldwell Park.
I think that is wonderful. I just wish they had security. I just wish there was, you know, people that would be walking around and kind of keeping an eye out, because it's such a beautiful park, and it sure would just be nice. I mean, but there's so many activities down there, especially, you know, with the swimming area, I still call it the plunge, but that's not what they call it anymore. Yeah. The Reading Aquatic Center.
Right.
But they have that skateboard park and
soccer
fields.
They're looking at expanding the skateboard park and expanding the bike, park there. New bike trails alongside the river, expanding the trails, putting more lighting on there, repairing or replacing the restrooms that are down there. Lighting in the area, maybe that will help with the, with security. Mm-hmm. But let's just face it, $6.7 million to make it look really nice. You want people to use the park. It's a perfect place for the homeless to sleep. They can, and it's along the river. It's during the day. It's got tables there and everything. So you're just going to have to keep fighting that. The thing that bothers me the most is, is the problem of discarded needles. Congressman LaMalfa has introduced a bill to stop the needle exchange. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not. In Reading, if you believe the statistics, is that they are turning in their needles for the needle exchange. Some people will tell you that's not true. But if you go by their statistics, it is that it's not an expensive program. But the thing about it is, some people say is like, well, what you're doing is you're just telling them that it's okay, keep shooting up. Well, then the other side of it is, if they're using dirty needles and sharing needles like that, then you've got blood carried diseases that we're going to end up paying for because they're not paying for it. Treatment for hepatitis, HIV, a multitude of other diseases. It's not neither one of them is a good position, but we've gotten ourselves into this. But the worst part is when you go to parks where they have to go through with metal detectors and pick up the syringes there, because you don't want to be walking through the park or kids running through the park barefoot. I don't think I'd ever walk barefoot to a park anymore. Would you?
No. I took my kids to Alta Mesa. They were very small. Now, you know how old my kids are now.
Yeah. College kids.
Son found a needle back then in the bark when he was playing. And I'm thinking, you know, it can happen anywhere.
It can.
You just have to just be careful, safe.
But you want your kids, you know, so tell your kids to, you know, to wear, you know, tennis shoes.
Wear tennis shoes, definitely.
You know, they want to wear sandals, but, you know, some of these sandals, they could get poked through the sandal because it's not thick enough. They hit it just right, or it could hit them on the side. So you'd want your kids to be wearing, you know, thick-soled shoes when they're out there running around the park just because of that. And you look at where we've gotten in the last 10 years, where we have to warn kids, you can't run through the park with it unless you have these shoes on. And where my wife, who is not timid, she's a fighter. I mean that. I mean, she's trained in martial arts and all these things, won't get out of her car at Safeway because of the throngs of people she would have to go through at the door. And that wasn't even too bad. It was the groups of two or three guys walking around the parking lot checking out cars.
Right, and that's so common there. That's why we don't even shop there. I'm sorry to say, I tell my family, don't go there. I just don't feel safe, and definitely, you know, it's just one of those places. And nothing changes there.
And this isn't about Measure A. This is about what is causing this problem. Is, you know, if when you see Seattle is dying, this documentary, they're laying it all on drugs, all of it. You know, and when you talk about it here in town, our people that are knowledgeable of this are saying, oh, yeah, it's probably 80% of it is drugs. But we've got to also, you can't discount the number of people that are mentally ill that are walking the streets out there. Now, I'm not talking about just the ones, you know, that have schizophrenia or other types. You know, a lot of them are burnt out because their brains are burnt out because of drugs, but they're mentally ill. What do we do if I'm not here in the offices? We lock the door.
We have to. Well, we had just the other day where I had a man expose himself out on the street. And because he's mentally unstable, there's nothing was done. There's nothing that could be done. And he does it all the time. He's very well known. People see him all the time. Same guy.
Well, yeah. And then when you say they see him, they see him. We've got to expand those facilities to be able to help the people. You know, Shasta Regional Medical Center has put in 21 beds for the 5150s, the one people that are dangerous for to other people and themselves. And they can hold them up to 72 hours unless they can get a court order to hold them longer to try and stabilize them. I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break because I've got Michael DeQuisto on the line, and I want to talk about Reading and some of these things we've been talking about. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
It's the President's Day sales event at Reading Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Get $2,500 Kia customer cash instant savings on the 2020 Kia Optima LX. And nominate your favorite teacher at the dealership in our Cash for Kids Classrooms promotion. No purchase necessary. Winning teacher gets $1,000 for their classroom. Details and entry form at Facebook and ReadingKia.com. Sale ends 2/29/2020. Reading Kia. ReadingKia.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you see the bill we all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, my name is Randy Jensen. I'm here to tell you about Curtis Byron, who's running for Supervisor District 4. Curtis has lived in Shasta County for 60 years and actually in District 4 the last 30. Public safety for the residents of Shasta County is top priority for Curtis, and he will do everything he can to make Shasta County a safer place where families want to live, free from the fear and harmful impact of criminals. Curtis has been involved with making the private sector and government sector work together for the benefit of the community. Cooperation is key to accomplishing goals. We're asking for your vote on March 3rd for Curtis Byron, Supervisor District 4.
I'm Curtis Byron, and I approve of this ad.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. It's 8:31 in the morning, 44 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. We're going to have beautiful days through the rest of the month. Even if they're all praying for rain, it's the first February without rain, unless we get it on Saturday. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that has been in business for decades. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments, 244-9478, and it's man's last stronghold. Hey, we have Michael DeQuisto on the phone. You know what, Michael? You've become one of my favorite, if not favorite, people in politics.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Well, you know what? We have a regular guest at this time of the month, and they sent me a text last week that I somehow missed, that they weren't going to make it. And I thought, you know, this is a, if I had just known that yesterday, I'd have called you and tried to get you on for the whole hour. So I really appreciate you calling in this morning.
Well, you're lucky I was up this early.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is when you're retired.
Yeah.
Or semi-retired. You know, we talked about the new $6.7 million grant for Caldwell Park.
Yes.
That's big.
That's a huge grant for the city, and it was unclear. The council approved applying for it several meetings ago, and it was unclear at the time whether we would get it or not. But, no, it's great. I'm totally excited for it. I hope we can find a way to, once the improvements go in, that we can find a way to help keep it up. You know, and if Measure A passes, that'll be a step in the right direction.
Well, you know, we were talking about that, too, how Sue was talking about her kids back when they were kids, now they're in college age, that they were in one of the parks, and they found a needle back then. But now, I think you have to tell your kids if they're going to be playing in these parks, they've got to wear, like, thick-soled, tennis shoes when they're out there because of the needle problem.
Well, if you come to the park with chairs to sit in, you probably need a metal detector first to sweep the ground to make sure there's no bad things there.
Well, it's, you know, I have not heard anything lately about Caldwell Park being a problem, but I maybe it's just because it's just too big to try and take care of.
Well, I do think I do want to commend RPD. They are doing they're doing more regular sweeps at Henderson Open Space. They're doing more regular sweeps downtown. They're promoting it on their Facebook page to show what they're going out and doing, and I think it's certainly having an effect. It's not completely solving the problem, but it's better than it was, and I applaud them 1,000% for that.
Well, yeah, and it takes people and personnel. Now, there also another grant's being applied for the neighborhood police unit. Is that true?
So the answer is yes, it's true. The council approved that at our, I think it was our last meeting, either the last meeting or the meeting before.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a COPS grant. According to Bill Shuler, we had the city had applied for it and had gotten it relatively regularly, so he thought that, you know, they would be able to get it again. It essentially pays, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it pays for 3 police officers for 3 years, and the fourth year we have to pay, the city has to pay out of the general fund.
Okay.
And the proposal that was made, or the thought, is that there will be sufficient tax from the marijuana collectives in town that's coming in, and it's coming in at a higher rate than was in the original budget, that by the time that this fourth year comes around, there should be sufficient funds from that to pay for it. And that's a good thing. Assuming that holds up, that's a good thing. That's one of the things I ran on, is that money should be used for public safety. And if it is and it's available for it, God bless them. That's a good thing.
Well, they've been there a year. Synergy's been there a year. And we've got another one that's lit up or started.
Yeah, well, however you want to call it.
However you want to put it.
The other thing is there was an article. Go ahead.
Were the taxes what you expected?
It was really an unknown to me as to whether it was going to be high or going to be low or what it was going to be. I assumed initially that we would get some because there would be people that would want to see if the business made sense as a business model, and they would want to get in and run it. So initially you're going to get some. The bigger question is over 2, 3, 4, 5 years, how is it going to stay? What's going to happen to it then? And I would think with Reading being the biggest city in the area and sort of the hub, that it would continue to grow would be my expectation, but only time will tell.
Grow, lit, you know, all these little words we use innocently, but they have so much to do with what's going on.
They will expand. How's that? And there was one thing I did want to say.
Yeah.
There was something I saw on Facebook. There was an article in the Record Searchlight or something that they posted where they said that the COPS grant for the neighborhood policing unit was a second fallback measure to passing Measure A. That's not true. The two are completely independent. Whether Measure A passes or doesn't pass, we were going to apply for this grant and see if we've gotten it. And we've gotten it in the past, so it's not like it's a brand new grant that somebody found out about and said, oh, this will be our backup plan if Measure A doesn't pass.
I've got a question here in the chat room, and somebody's saying, how's your relationship with the city staff?
There's about 800 people on the city staff. And I don't know them.
I imagine the division heads is what they're talking about, department heads.
I think it's respectful. I think that we certainly can have some differences of opinion on some things, and I'm not afraid to make my voice known and ask questions. But I think at the end of the day, everybody realizes you need to get along and move forward. And you know, there have been several votes recently that I was on the short end of the stick, and I posted on Facebook about why I voted that way, and I posted a link to the video so people could watch it and see. And it's just a way to be transparent and to get more information out there. But I accept the results of the vote, and you go on to the next thing. I mean, that's what it is being on city council. I don't hold resentment over anything. Whether the staff doesn't like some of the questions I might ask, well, I ask the questions because I think, first of all, I have questions that I want answered, and they're up there to answer them. They should be prepared. But the second part is, if I have these questions, many people in the public are going to have the same questions. And, you know, I think that they should be answered in public. That's all.
Yeah, well, I think your constituents have a lot of questions, and if you can't answer them, you've got to go to the people that can.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, for instance, we'll get emails or we'll get comments from somebody, and it will go to a department head because I won't know the answer. Somebody says, well, when are they going to fix the pothole in front of my street? I go, well, I'm not on the pothole fixing committee, but I can send you to Mr. Auckland, who's in charge of public works, who can then tell you what the schedule is or how they figure it out. So the department heads are very helpful in that regard. They do lots of things that are behind the scenes that the average citizen doesn't see or doesn't know about, and they do a very good job at that.
Does it appear our tax revenue is growing?
It has been. It has been, and the estimates are that it will continue to grow. But it's like anything else in the business cycle. I mean, the stock market's gone up over the last 3 years since Trump got in, but now it just went down a little bit for the coronavirus. So everything is cyclical. So they're going to go up, but it's not going to go up forever and ever and ever. You just don't know when it's going to level off or go back down again. But so far it's been doing well.
Well, and that is, you know, that's very, you know, you can't project. You can say, hey, look, we're riding on this tide right now. And, you know, and on the coronavirus, you know, there's a headline that the Tokyo Olympics could be canceled if they don't have it under control because of the hundreds of thousands of people coming into Tokyo, all the athletes from all over the world coming in. And if this thing has reached the pandemic stage, which it hasn't yet, it could be a game killer for the Olympics. That would, and when you think about that, that to me is – that seems something. I mean, you talk about things happening in the Hunan province in China and some of these other isolated cases, but to have something like that that they're discussing, that kind of brings it home that it can be something severe.
Well, it does. I mean, it's one of the things that nobody knows what tomorrow will bring, and the future is always a big unknown, and you never know what might happen.
What are you looking at downtown? We're getting closer. You know, you're looking, of course, at the county courthouse, and you can't miss that. I mean, that doesn't really have anything to do with the city. However, our K2, the second part of the parking structure is coming down next week. The impact that's having on businesses. I got into a spirited discussion with somebody yesterday who said it's not going to have an impact on business. I'm kind of like I don't understand how that could be.
I would agree. Well, it's not going to have an impact on business. Does that mean not going to have a positive impact or a negative impact or no impact? It's going to have some impact, no question. I think it's a great thing. I think it's helpful for the downtown. It shows confidence of people putting their money where their mouth is and investing down there. And it's change. I think it's moving forward. Obviously, there's growing pains while they're, you know, tearing the parking lot down, and there's parking issues, and there's going to continue to be, and there'll be other, you know, small things that'll come up. But I think that everybody's dealing with it, you know, appropriately. You know, anecdotally, the few times I have to go down there and have something to eat for lunch or meet somebody, I haven't had a problem finding a parking space.
No, there's a lot of places. You know, you may have to walk a little bit, and REU is talking about bringing in 3 electric people movers.
Yeah, the council approved that. I don't know if it was a concept or to actually buy some, and they had some preliminary drawings or renderings as to what they were going to look like, and I think they were going to have some police cadets be the drivers to drive it around and stuff. I haven't seen any yet, and we haven't been told they've actually been, you know, implemented, but they did do that as part of the project, and that could be a good long-term solution if it works out and have those little things to drive around.
Well, I see pedicabs happening. I see all these things, you know, little entrepreneurs that are trying to, maybe they're going to school, or they get themselves a pedicab and taking people around, even as they do down in the old San Diego district, the Gaslight district down in San Diego and other places. I just see a number of things that can happen downtown.
Maybe you and I should set up a pedicab business.
Yep.
I'll let you. You're going to sit in front or back?
Well, you know what? It'd be good exercise. You know, you can gear those things down, and you could have a limit of 400 pounds in the back or something like that. And you know what? You know, my wife will not let me buy the hot dog stand downtown in front of the post office. I must bring it up at least once a month. I said, you know, that could be a great business. And she says, you're gonna stand out there with a big hat on and sell hot dogs. And
yeah, right after your program's over, 9 o'clock, head on over there and off you go.
You get over there around 10, you know, you heat up the water, you stand by to have Fern from the county come by and tell you that your relish tray isn't cold enough, you know, those kind of things. But Randy seems to be enjoying himself over there, and he's trying to open up another one over by Turtle Bay. So, I mean,
you know, good for him.
I think it's
small
great.
Business, it's a great thing to go to.
Yeah.
I work for myself. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You know what? You know, it's one thing when you're an entrepreneur that, you know, the buck really does stop here. And so if you've made a decision, it comes back and almost right away and tells you maybe that wasn't the right decision. Or it comes back and says, that's a great decision. You should be happy you did that. We're with Michael DeQuisto, of course, Reading City Council. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And, hey, Michael, I'd like to talk to you about your concept of the river.
Sure.
Because that's going to be coming in during your time frame, I believe, isn't it?
I think it will. It'll be close
to it. Yeah. Okay. And so I'd like to hear what your concept of that is, because I think that would kind of be like the cherry on top, or maybe that would be the place that everything else builds from. So maybe it's the
foundation.
Infrastructure, the foundation for our city. So we'll be taking a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Martini is returning to Redding's Cascade Theater with singer China Forbes for their all-new holiday show.
It's time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember, Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
The status quo has got to go. I'm Dale Ball asking you to vote for me as your District 2 County Supervisor. As a concerned citizen, I've attended countless City Council, Board of Supervisors, and Town Hall meetings. Seeing the need to remove the mess left behind by illegal encampments, I co-founded Shasta Support Service, which has removed hundreds of tons of trash, saving local property owners thousands of dollars in fines. I never dreamed of running for political office, but realized our elected officials should reflect the community they represent. I grew up in Shasta County, graduated from Anderson High School, and went off to earn a paycheck each week like many of you. I believe in evidence-based solutions to improve our public safety. I have witnessed the impact of homelessness and addiction firsthand. I have seen what works and what only enables bad behavior. Are you better off than you were 12 years ago? Has the county represented your interests? I ask you to vote March 3rd for Dale Ball for District 2 County Supervisor, paid for by Dale Ball for Supervisor 2020.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Here it is, the 26th of February. It's 8:48 in the morning, 44 degrees, going up to 74 today, 75. It's going to be beautiful today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, all the way up to 80. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793. Discounts always for veterans and seniors. We have on the line with us Reading City Councilman Michael DeQuisto, and the question before the break was, what do you envision happening with the river now that it's coming back and can be, looks like it will be developed?
Well, that's a really good question, and let me just give a little background for some people that may not know. The river property is owned by the Kutras family, and there are a number of pieces to it, parcels, and it's subject to leases with different entities, principally the McConnell Foundation. And those leases, I think they either are up right now or they're starting to come up or they're coming up sometime in 2020, and over the next few years the leases will end, and I believe that they will not be renewed and that the Kutras family will work on developing the property. So that's kind of the time frame for what it is. There was a city riverfront plan that was done years ago, and I don't know how current it is. I think it may need to be updated. I believe that the city is talking, that Mr. Tippin is talking with Mr. Kutras and the members of the family. I don't know how often it's going on and, or specifically what they're talking about. I've met with Mr. Kutras and some of his representatives, and have he's given me some general outline of the kind of things that he's looking at doing down there, and it all sounds very, very good.
Can you share what some of the things they're talking about?
Well, there were more just in generalities of making a nicer motel and some river frontage there, and maybe getting some pedestrian-friendly traffic areas kind of down there with I don't want to say the San Antonio Riverwalk, but with some retailers and some businesses and some eating places that would be.
Yeah, I'd love to see some restaurants down there.
That's the general idea. But as any, you know, with anything else, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of effort, and nothing moves quickly.
And along the river, you're fighting putting something, anything along the river, you know, making sure that it meets all the environmental regulations. I can just imagine what that's going to be for an environmental impact statement if you want to build a restaurant or a retail business down there.
Well, I don't know for sure, but there's probably a dozen different agencies between federal, state, and local that you have to.
Everywhere from the Army Corps of Engineers to the Fish and Wildlife and everything in between on the impact.
I think that's true. Hopefully, if I'm still on the council when it comes up, we could make it. The city can at least make it their part a little easier for the Kutras family.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
It would be very nice.
I'm thinking is that, you know, we've got this beautiful river. 80,000 cars pass by Redding every day. How many people it would bring in. You know, we're not going to have the jet boats. That's not going to happen like they have, you know, up in Oregon. But there are all types of things for electric boats that could be going up and down the river and water taxis. Your water taxi that's pedaled by somebody, that's part of your business from the pedicabs.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you could put people in and pedal water taxis.
Send them down and tell them to get off at Anderson River Park.
Yeah, the only problem is getting back up.
Something just occurred to me. When you drive over the bridge on 44 and you look down to the right looking to the south and you see the beautiful view of the river, depending where you build whatever you build in there, that view is going to change.
It is going to change.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I think it can be done in such a way that you can, you know, so that when you look down there that you're still seeing trees and things that are, you know, environmentally friendly but also pleasing to the eye. That would have to be, it's part of the planning commission that we have here in Redding that we can have growth and it can be a significant, you know, foundation for the rest of the city, pulling people in that way. Then they see how beautiful downtown is. Do you envision downtown events, different types of lighting where you have like street fairs and these kind of things?
I think there will be once they finish the central project down there, the K2 project and the buildings down there. I think that will grow up sort of organically or as a grassroots effort around there. Somebody will come up with an idea and say, let's try this parade or let's try this festival or let's try this. You know, they've done it before with the downtown art walk and some of the celebrations they have downtown with the businesses. And they do some pop-up things. And McConnell's done a few things, I think, with its little area where the police station used to be. So, yeah, I would just see that growing and getting bigger and bigger. I mean, I'll tell you, and I've said this before, I joined the Angel Group about 10 years ago, and we have meetings once a month, and it's just fascinating to see the energy and the different ideas that come up from people that make pitches to us. And there's all kinds of things. So there's a lot of good things going on in the community that I think are only going to be helpful in the short term and in the long term. I mean, I'm very optimistic.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear you say that, Mike, because a lot of times all we hear is that we're the fifth, the fifth city in America for stolen cars. But we're also one of the top places for entrepreneurs. We're one of the top destination places. We're in, you know, a lot of these things. One of the top fishing destinations in the United States, you know, for the fishing we have here. And people, we're not told that enough. With that in mind.
No, I mean, there's good and bad, like anything else. It's not perfect, but there's a lot of good things. And it's the old story. You look at the cup, and is it half full or half empty or somebody else's cup?
Well, you know, the other what are you going to be looking at here? We've got like about 5 minutes left. What are we going to be looking at? What's the city council going to be looking at that's got that's going to have some significant impact in the next upcoming months?
Costco.
Oh yeah. Are y'all still involved? I thought, is Costco a done deal?
No. Costco has had to redo portions of their environmental impact report, and they just redid the most recent portion, and it went out for comment. I think it's going to go to the Planning Commission maybe in March and then come to the council in April or May. So that's coming around. It hasn't gone away. We haven't heard back from the Department of the Interior for the casino proposal down off of I-5, and that's I don't know when that's going to come back, but it should sometime, and that's going to be a contentious issue. Those are probably the two biggest ones I could think of right now.
Costco's not a done deal, huh?
Costco's not a done deal. It's not a done deal.
Well, that would be a severe impact if it doesn't go in, because they're going to want to put it someplace.
Well, let me put it this way. It's not a done deal because the city council hasn't finally approved it, but it's been not a done deal for years now. This is the third time they've rewritten the EIR based on a lawyer letter that comes in. And it's principally, my understanding is it's principally Costco's decision to say we want to redo the EIR. We want to get it as good as possible and as strong as possible. So in the event there's a court challenge, assuming it gets approved, and then there's a subsequent court challenge, that we're in the strongest position that we can be in. So it's one thing it's a work in progress. You know, if it gets approved, when will it actually start building? When will they start doing it? Who knows? It could be a long time.
Well,
it could be a long time.
That's
past my term on the city council, more term.
This isn't going to be one of those things that your grandkids are going to be there for the grand opening, are they?
I don't know. I would hope if the grand opening happens that it would be before then, but, you know, politics is a strange world.
Push all the former council people up there in their walkers and chairs to be there to cut the ribbon.
No, I think usually the current people want to take credit for it, even if they just got in and they go, well, it happened on my watch. Doesn't matter that I didn't do anything before. And I mean, if you think about it, Costco, starting from Oasis Road, it's been around for 10 or 15 years. So there's all kinds of people on the council who have been involved in one way or another with the project and what they're going to do with it and how it's going to go. You know, I think the more interesting thing is this Proposition A and what they're going to do with that. And I haven't publicly supported it, but what I've told people in private is that I think the measure is relatively well written. It's not perfect. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and there's always ways to get around it. It's certainly better than a straight-up general tax that would go into the city's general fund and could be used for anything you want. But I understand people that are leery and that don't trust the politicians and say you should solve the other issues. I mean, the truth of the matter is that there's a gigantic pension problem and a wage payment problem and a benefit problem that exists in all local and state governments. And that needs to be, I mean, the real answer is to deal with that and try to do something about it. It's very hard and very difficult, and it's not an easy answer.
Well, those are two separate things, the unfunded liabilities in this
Well, they are two separate things.
Are you telling people that you are now supporting it?
What I've told people is I have a copy of the ordinance, and I will send you the ordinance, and you can read it. And if you have questions, you can feel free to call and ask me. on a personal level, the way I look at it is relatively simple. If we don't do anything and we wait for the state to do something, we'll wait forever. It's not going to happen in our realistic lifetime. So either you accept the status quo or you try to do something. And I'm of the mindset that you try to do something. It's like swinging at a pitch. You swing at the pitch. If you miss, you try to do something else. So I give Joe a lot of credit for trying to do something, swing at the pitch and see if it hits or doesn't hit after March 3rd. And then depending what happens then, we move forward from that.
Well, you know, and I'm like that too. I do support it. But the reason being is I don't think the status quo is acceptable. And the way that, you know, the way the criminals are being handled and all the other, you know, a lot of the other things. But you're right, you know, and if it doesn't, we've got to go to another plan. But I'm not sure what the next plan would be, but it'll be interesting to see if it doesn't pass. I expect people to come up with them and with, you know, a new idea that, you know, that could answer this.
Well, that's partly our job as elected officials, and it's also the jobs of the citizens to raise ideas. I mean, we're not the sole source of the fountain of knowledge and all the ideas just because we get elected. I mean, we're supposed to listen to our constituents and see what they have to say.
You got it.
And lots of times they have lots of great ideas that are, you know, things we hadn't thought of.
Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Councilman, thanks so much for coming on at short notice for us and giving us your expertise.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You bet, Mike. Okay, tomorrow we're going to have two gentlemen that are in favor of Measure A and a couple other surprises.